in chapter 3 of the Song of Solomon this morning. Let's go ahead and turn there. And while you're getting to that part of the scripture, let me remind you that the Song of Solomon is an historical book. It looks at a relationship that King Solomon had. He fell in love with a Shulamite woman, and he won her love for himself. That's what we saw last week. But in addition to being an historical book, it's a book that has an impact in the present as well. Because as we saw last week, just as the king, Solomon, was winning that Shulamite to himself, so Jesus Christ is involved in a process of winning people to himself. Last week we looked and we saw how God views us through the words of King Solomon. We saw that God views us as a treasure, as something precious beyond price. And that just as Solomon extended an invitation to the Shulamite woman, in a similar way, Jesus Christ extends an invitation to us to be a part of his kingdom. Now today in chapter 3, we're going to pick up. Last week, Solomon had won the Shulamite woman's love, and a marriage has been arranged. And we're going to see that this marriage, God uses the Hebrew marriage ceremony to relay some truths about himself to us. So this week, Solomon is coming for his bride. Obviously, the corollary for us is that Jesus is coming for his bride as well. So we're in Song of Solomon chapter 3. Verse 6 reads this way. Who is this coming out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders? Behold, it is Solomon's couch, with 60 valiant men around it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of fear in the night. Of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a palanquin. He made its pillars of silver, its support of gold, its seat of purple, its interior paved with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his espousals, the day of the gladness of his heart. Now, as I mentioned last week, Solomon had won the love of the Shulamite woman, and now they're embarking on a process that's going to lead up to a marriage ceremony. Important to realize the Hebrews had some things about their marriage ceremonies that we're going to see here in this passage, this brief passage this morning. When a Hebrew marriage was arranged, whether it was by the father, as it was often done, or whether it was by the parties involved, as we saw in the book of Ruth, when Boaz and Naomi became espoused to each other. It didn't matter whether it was personally arranged or whether it was arranged by the father. There would begin a process called betrothal that would end in a wedding ceremony. Betrothal meant that the two parties were essentially committed to each other already for life. They weren't yet joined, but the commitment was so serious that to break it required a divorce, even though a marriage had not yet occurred. That's sort of the way it is with us and Jesus. We have not yet been joined to him in that marriage of the Lamb that's coming up, but it's such a serious commitment that we're already his, even before the ceremonies occurred. As the betrothal began, the young man would depart from his beloved, and he would go to prepare a place for her, a home. Often it would be an addition onto the home of his father because family ties were very important back then. Now, Solomon's coming to receive his bride. That means everything's been made ready. He's ready to receive her to himself as his bride. But in a similar way, what's happened for us is this. Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, when he was about to return to his father, he made a promise that he would come for his bride as well. Let me read you a passage from the gospel according to John. John chapter 14, where Jesus, now ready to return to his father, said these words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, when that young man in the Hebrew marriage ceremony would go to prepare a place, that's exactly what he would do, prepare a place for his bride. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. And a musician, a Christian musician from the 70s named Keith Green put it this way one time. He said, if God created this world, and I'm paraphrasing quite broadly here, but if God created this world as beautiful as it is in 6 days, can you imagine what he has prepared for us in the last 2,000 years? See, Jesus Christ, like that husband in the marriage of the Hebrew people, he's gone to prepare a place for us. He said, if I do that, I'm coming again, just like Solomon is now coming for his bride, and I'm going to receive you to myself. When will this happen? Nobody knows. Only the Father knows. Because you see, if I were a young man going to marry a young Hebrew woman, and they said, get a place ready, and then you can be married, I'd go home and take a few 2x4s and some cardboard, slap something together fast, and say, come on, let's go, let's get married. So they wouldn't allow the husband to make this decision. Dad would make the decision. He would examine everything, and when he said, it's good, then he would send his son to go get the bride. In a similar fashion, Jesus, in his life on this earth, even Jesus didn't know when the Father would send him back. This is from Matthew 24, verse number 36. Jesus speaks these words. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And in verse 42, he added this to it. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But you know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour a thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Now, the church for 2,000 years has anxiously been awaiting an event, the return of the Lord, not to the earth to reign, but to receive his church to himself. When does it happen? We don't know. But he says, since you don't know, you should be ready, because it could happen at any moment. Now, when Solomon came for his bride, he came in this beautiful couch, or palanquin, as it says. And, you know, don't get an image of him on the dining room sofa, the living room sofa, or a palanquin. What is that? These are the royal litters that rulers would be carried in. Men would grab the poles and lift this up. There would often be a portable throne on it, and the king would sit on it. You've probably seen images of somebody being carried, some royalty, some king being carried by other people. Well, that's what this is. It's Solomon's royal coach, but it's also his wedding coach. The floor of it is pure gold. The pillars are made out of solid silver. Inside, it's beautiful. The daughters of Jerusalem have done tapestries and quilting and things. It's gorgeous. Now, when Jesus comes for us, it's going to be a gorgeous thing as well. Because when he comes, he's not coming as a suffering Messiah this time. When he returns for his church, he's coming as a king, just as Solomon's coming. He's coming as a ruler to receive a bride to himself. But again, we don't know when. It's going to happen, but it's unclear the timing on this thing. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes a little bit about the return of the Lord for his church. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, he says this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, when Solomon came for his bride, they could see the pillars of smoke going up from the incense, and they would often come with a fanfare of trumpets, a lot of noise. Because, see, the bride doesn't know. Only the father of the groom knows when he's sending the groom. The bride doesn't know. So she has to be ready to go. So when that sound comes, the sound of the trumpets and the sound of the voices, she has to be ready to go immediately. It says here that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. And there's a day coming, and I believe it's very soon, when we'll hear that sound of a trumpet in the air. And that's going to be it. And Jesus will say, church, show's over. I've accomplished everything. The fullness of the Gentiles has arrived. I've saved the last one that's going to be a member of the church. Come on up. And we are taken in an event called the rapture of the church, where we're literally taken physically from this planet. When that happens, there will be some changes. Right now, the current way of leaving the planet is through something called death. But that's not going to be true for everyone. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote these words. I'll start at verse 51 here. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so, for thousands of years now, the way to heaven was simply to die on this planet and to wake up in heaven. And that's the way the church has been coming into the presence of the Lord for two millennia. But there is coming a generation for whom that will not be true. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die. There is a generation coming. I think this is the one. And we shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed, receiving those glorified bodies, just as the body of Jesus when he came out of the grave. Changed. Eternal. And God has been granting that to people for 2,000 years through a process of death and appearing before him in heaven. But there is a generation, I'm convinced, I'm a part of it, that will not die. But we'll hear that sound of a trumpet in the air, and the Lord will say, "It's over, come on up." And as we go up to be with him, our bodies will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, just like that. We'll receive glorified bodies just like Jesus had. And these will be great bodies. They'll be young and they'll be strong, and they will be designed to last forever because we'll be living with the Lord forever. And these bodies, well, you can forget all the aches and pains that come with life as we get older. And you can forget about bifocals, and you can forget about cancer, and you can forget about illness and sickness. These bodies will be good for eternity because that's where we're going to live. And so as we go to be with the Lord, we'll be changed on the way up. And so Jesus uses the story of the marriage of Solomon to the Shulamite woman to make this point to us. Just as Solomon came for his bride, so Jesus Christ is returning to this planet for his bride as well. And he says, it's going to happen. The only person who knows is my Father. When Jesus lived on this earth, he didn't know when the timing was. And he says, therefore, you've got to be ready. Because can you imagine a bride who wasn't ready? Now, the bride would have no idea when the groom was coming, so she'd have to simply be ready. Today we do it a little differently. We set the date, we rent the church or the facility or whatever, and the bride has plenty of time to get all the details right. The dress, the nails, the hair, everything. She's gorgeous. But in those days, she'd have to have all this prepared beforehand and just ready to go at a moment's notice. Because when the sound of the trumpets and the voices and all came, it was time to go. There was no time to be ready. So the whole point of this is that Jesus is saying to his church through this story, church, be ready. So let me read you one last scripture here. This is from Matthew 25. Jesus telling a story that has to do with marriage. Matthew 25, verse 1. "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." And of course, in the scriptures, oil is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. So out of these 10 virgins, 5 of them were foolish. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. That meant they had no relationship with God. They weren't ready for his return. 5 did. They were in the Lord and ready. Verse 4, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They had no idea when the bridegroom was coming. And at midnight," verse 6, "a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And it is certainly true that there is coming a time when the last of the Gentile nations shall be saved. And when that happens, the church age is over. We go up in that event called the rapture. 7 years. The Hebrews would be married during a period of 7 days. Long weddings back then. 7 years, the church will be with Jesus Christ in heaven, celebrating the marriage of the Lamb, being joined to Jesus eternally. Now, if you don't make it, if the rapture occurs and millions of Christians disappear, and some churches are empty and some churches are full, you can still be saved. But as far as being part of the church, it's too late for that. The church is in heaven with Jesus. You can still be saved. You can still belong to God. You can still go to heaven. But you will pass through not the 7 years in heaven of the marriage of the Lamb, but 7 years on earth called the tribulation period, when the world experiences the wrath of God, a world that has chosen to reject God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus, and so they have chosen for themselves judgment. So the door is shut. The five virgins go in. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you do not know, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And I tell you this to make this point. Solomon came for his bride. She had no warning. She had to be ready. And then they went to the wedding. Jesus Christ is coming for his church. You will have no warning. There will be the sound of a trumpet. The Lord will appear in the sky and he'll receive to himself his church. As we go to be with him, we will be changed. The church will be transfigured. We'll be in those eternal bodies. And we'll be married to God. Meanwhile, on earth, it's kind of bad news. God's judgment is being poured out on a world that has rejected Jesus. People will still get saved, but the church age is over. The church is in heaven being married to the Lamb. So the whole point that I'm making with you this morning is this. Are you ready for that? Can you imagine a bride who wasn't ready for her wedding? Now, this whole thing has been focused on Solomon, but think about the bride for a minute. When a bride prepares for a wedding day, there's lots of things that go on. There's the nails and the hair and the dresses and the bridesmaids' dresses and all the preparations. There isn't going to be any time for that. So can you imagine showing up on your wedding day in your sweats? No makeup. It's just you. Your hair's up in curlers. You're a mess. An old hoodie torn with mustard on it from last night's dinner. And it's your wedding day. And you'd be horrified. How many of us are horrified that we might not be ready for the return of Jesus Christ? You know, the whole point of what I'm saying is this. You don't know when he's coming, so be ready. And for some people, that means you have to give your life to Jesus. Otherwise, you will not be there when this occurs. You don't want to be on the earth when God's judgment is poured out on it. That's not going to be fun. But to be in heaven with Jesus, being married to him, your sins forgiven, sins scarlet, made white as snow, living with God forever in a body designed for eternity, that's worth being a part of. But for many of us, it just means this. Are you really ready for the sound of the trumpet, for the king to appear in the clouds? And for a lot of us, the answer is no. Because let's face it, it's a busy life, isn't it? It's a busy world. And how much time do we really spend thinking of Jesus? I know it's Sunday morning, so we're all here and we're all kind of thinking about him. But before the service, yesterday, how much time did you spend thinking about Jesus? You know, he doesn't take up a lot of our time, does he? Other things take up much of our time. But do you suppose a bride on the day before her wedding day is thinking about the man she's going to marry? We spend a lot of time telling people about Jesus and saying how much we love him. But if that's true, shouldn't we be spending time with him? How much of your time do you spend with Jesus, actually talking to him, praying, communicating with him? And if this makes you feel a little uncomfortable, it makes me feel uncomfortable too. Because we're just not as ready as we could be. Imagine showing up at your wedding in a torn hoodie with mustard on it. You'd be horrified. But how many of us are really ready for the King to come and receive us to Himself? For some of us, it means getting right with God, believing in Jesus, and letting Him save us. For others, it means maybe I need to change my focus. Maybe I need to stop thinking so much about the things of the world and begin thinking about eternal things, because that's where I'm going to spend eternity with God. And what I want to do is just offer you an opportunity that at the end of today's service, if you have not known Jesus and you really want to, you don't want to be here for the judgment of God, but you want to be there in heaven, married to God, then it'll be our privilege and our passion and our joy to pray with you and to watch as God saves you. For others, it'll be a process of saying, Lord, I'm really not as ready as I could be. I admit I've really been taken up with the things of the world, and I just want to get that right. I want to get that straight. I want to begin living for you now because I'm going to live with you forever, so why not practice on it now? And we'll be glad to pray with you and just watch as Jesus brings you back to Himself and gets your focus right. So the whole point of this today is, people be ready. There's a King coming. I thought about that song this week. I thought, wouldn't that be a perfect one to play? People get ready. Train a cup. Remember that one? Be ready. Because Jesus Christ is coming and you don't have any warning. He'll appear like that. And then the church will go to be with Him. Should be an encouraging thing. Our King's coming for us. That's a guarantee. Nothing can stop Him. He's on the way. We just want to be ready. I want to show up for that wedding day. I want to be ready. I want to be wearing the old hoodie with the mustard on it, man. That's not the way to go. So, let me just close this portion out now with this prayer for you. Father, as a people, we can stand before you and say, none of us is as ready as we should be, but we'd all like to be more ready than we are. And for some, that might mean coming to you for the first time to be forgiven of our sins. For others, it might mean we just need to get our focus right. We need to start thinking about eternity. It lasts a whole lot longer than this life does. And whatever it is, whatever you want to do in our lives, we're ready to accept it and receive it from your hands. And so, Father, we just pray that you would make us ready. Your Spirit would work in our lives and make us ready to be before the King, to be married to Him forever. This thing we ask, in Jesus' name, amen.